Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Holy Spirit, this is your time again. We've just spoken about you, but we know that it is you that preaches every single time. Because it is the message that you want to give to the people and not what we want to give that is spoken through our mouths. Please open the ears of the church today that they may receive your message. Amen. This is a very, very special day today. For a few people amongst us. It is always a very special day on a Sunday. But today is a very extra, very, very special extra day for a few people here. Because they have taken, I think, what one would call the most important decision of their entire lives. There are two extremely important decisions that are made. The first one is to say, Jesus, yes, I accept you and I want to walk with you. And the second decision is to confirm it through baptism. And that's what's going to happen today. So I just want to, today, I really have the impression that the message today is directed specifically to those people who are going to be baptized this afternoon. But I honestly think that it's going to be good for every single person here to be reminded of what we're going to speak about. And the title of this message, I've entitled it, Where Do You Think You Are Going? Because we all have a path in our lives. You see, we live in the world, and then at one point in time, God, He calls us. And the Holy Spirit starts working within our lives. And then some of us, accept Jesus in our lives. And then we give our lives to Him and we ask Him to be the Lord of our life. From that moment onwards, we say we need to be baptized because the Bible says very clearly, believe and be baptized. And those who do that, those who believe and are baptized will be saved.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we take those decisions. And then, of course, we come into God's major plan. We are then, once we have accepted Jesus in our lives, we are part of that plan of God. We are part of a little bit of that plan. Some of us will have a great big role to play during our lives. Some others are going to be a role a little bit, I won't say darker, but you know, a bit not in the limelight, I'll put it that way. But just as important than any other role, every single person has a role to play in the plan of God. And that's what I would like to talk about, because we don't necessarily know what that plan is, but God does. And as we walk in the earth, as we walk, as we go along, we just do our lives, we just carry on, we pray, and God guides us. And we go through things because He knows where He wants us to go. And that is why I entitled the sermon, Where Do You Think You Are Going? Because where what you think you are going is perhaps something totally different than what God is leading you to. Because He knows what the future is, whereas you don't know. So there are a few aspects like that, of the sense that you're doing your life, and you think, oh yes, I'm going to go to the worship team, I'm going to be in the worship team, and I'm going to sing. Unfortunately, God hasn't given you a voice to sing. Right? But He has something else for you. But you think you're called to sing. And then, of course, you are a little bit upset because the pastor, who is a musician, he will say to you, okay, but yes, you're very nice, you're very kind. Could you just set up the microphones, please, for us? Okay? So we go along a path, and that's not necessarily the path that God wants us to be on. And look at what happens. Let's just go through a few people from the Bible, you know, because that is where we get all our information from. That's our encyclopedia. It's our manual. That's where we find everything. And just look at King Saul. How did King Saul become king? It's very simple. Because the people of Israel were governed by judges. They were judges in those days. And all the other people on the earth that were surrounding Israel, they all had gods. Also they had gods, but they had kings. And then the Israelites said, well, we want king. We want a king. Why haven't we got a king? Why haven't we got a king? We want a king. And God wasn't prepared to give them a king at the beginning. But they wanted to be the same as all the other people on the earth. So, God chose Saul to be king. And then he said to Samuel, go and anoint King Saul as king for me. And then he gives instruction to Saul and he says, listen, I want you to go out there and I want you to destroy all the Amalekites that are around there, but you destroy absolutely everything. You don't leave anything alive because the Amalekites were going to destroy Israel. Or they're going to fight against them day in and day out. And that is the reason why God said, I want them destroyed. So, what does King Saul do? First thing he does, he's king, he raises an army, 200,000 men. He goes there, starts killing everybody. But he does not destroy the spoils, which is the good things, the sheep, the grain, etc., etc., etc. He keeps that for himself, where God said, destroy absolutely everything. So Saul already, right at the beginning of his kingship, he already disobeyed God. Reaction? Immediately God says, that's the end of it. I don't want you as king anymore. Because you're not obeying me. I put you in a position of authority, but you're not obeying me. So that's the first lesson that we have to learn when we're walking on God's path, is to listen to what God is saying, and not only listen, but do what he's saying us to do. If he says go left, don't try to go right. Just do what God tells us to do, and all will be well with us, says the word of God. Okay? So, God has to get rid of Saul one way or the other. That's easy for him, but let's put it this way. A few weeks later, he says to Samuel, I want you to take your horn of oil, and I want you to go to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, and I want you to anoint the new king of Israel. There is already a king in Israel. That was King Saul. He wasn't dead, but he says, I want you to go and anoint the king. Because the anointing that I put on Saul, I'm going to put on the king who is there, that I have already chosen for you. And what does he do? And I want to show you something through this. Because, you know, he went there and he says to Jesse, I am here to anoint the future king of Israel. And what does he do? He takes his horn, and then, of course, Jesse being Jesse, and he's got sons, and all the sons are there proud as though, oh, it's going to be me this time, you know. Now I'm going to be the king. All six of them. Right? So, first one comes along, and he says, sorry, that's not the one. Because God is talking to Saul, and he says, that's not the one. So, yeah, the second one comes along. He says, no, that's not the one either. And systematically, all six of them come along, stand before Saul, and Saul hears from God, that is not the future king. He said, there must be somebody else. Have you got another son somewhere? He said, yeah, there's the youngster there, you know, he's just there, he's looking after the sheep. All the others were strong, and yeah, there he's just, you know, the small guy. He said, well, go and get him. And when that was David, right? And as he comes along, God says to him, that's the one. Wow. So you got to see something in that story. You know, in our life, we can be the last of the least in a society or in a family. The people, the person that nobody looks at. The one that all the brothers, you know, would say, ah, give me your, I'm bigger than you, give me that toy, I want to play with it, I'm going to the cinema, you stay at home, look after the dog, you know. Yeah?
Yeah.
But when God chooses somebody, the entire world may be against that person, but God's will is going to happen. The chosen one to serve God is going to be chosen no matter what. So David, although he was down there looking after the sheep, he was the chosen one of God. And look at this. There were two kings then in Israel, but the second one people didn't know yet about. He had been anointed David, but he wasn't acting king. Saul was still active, yeah. Okay, but the king that God had chosen was actually fighting Goliath when the time came. He wasn't recognized as the king until much later. But he had already been chosen. So God knows already what is for your life. You might not know already, but he does know, and he's going to bring you where the place that you are going to be lifted up in due time. Do not fear what people think. Do not fear what people do. Just walk your path with God and be righteous. And when the right time comes, God will honor you. And he will bring you to the place that he wants you to be. And he will get you to do what the job that he wants you to do for him. Amen. I mean, isn't it tremendous that you think, because you don't know what's going on in life. You make plans. I mean, you all know that we are planning, God willing, I always say, to go and live in Brazil and do the work of God down there in South America. That is our plan. But it is in God's hands. If God says, Philip, you're not going, well, Philip's not going. That's very simple. I'm not going to disobey. But if he lets me go, oh, glory be. Amen. He could very well say, no, you're going to Africa. I don't really want to go to Africa, but I mean, you know. If he says, go there, I'm going to go. Because that is where God calls me. So it's the same thing with you. Be prepared for surprises. Because God always has knacks to surprise people. He puts you somewhere, and then suddenly it's something completely different that happens. But the important thing is to listen to God's voice. Amen. And to do what he tells you to do and to follow his path. Amen. Another example is Esther. Did you know that Esther she was an orphan. She lost her mother, she lost her father. And she was brought up by, I think it was her uncle, her uncle Mordecai. And can you imagine the destiny of that girl? She didn't know that one day she would become queen of Persia. I mean, that's the highest position that a woman can ever achieve in those days. Now, some of you ladies are called to be in a very high position. But what did Esther do to get to that position? The first thing, there was humility. The second thing, that was listening to the voice of God. So Esther went there because there was a history about the queen, Queen Vashti, that disobeyed the king, and she got put aside, and the king wanted a new queen, and then all the young ladies had to come along, and she was chosen. Why was she chosen? Can anyone tell me why she was chosen? Come on, church. No, she was chosen because God chose her. Because she didn't know that she was going to save the Jews. But God chose her to be there so he could use her to save the Jews, which is not quite the same. Because if she had known that she was going to save the Jews, how would have she reacted?
Sure, I'm going to go there.
Because I could get killed by my husband. But God put her in that position. Remember one thing, when you are in a place and you are walking with God, you are always in the place where God wants you. Because when you are walking with God, you listen to him. And you go to places. And then you know you're under God's protection. And you know you're in the right place at the right time. So Esther, let's come back to her. There was this horrible thing that this man, I'm not going to set any names, he wanted to kill Mordecai because he was a Jew. He says the easiest way to get rid of him is to get rid of the whole people. Genocide, bang, just to get rid of one man. But then, of course, Esther was there and she became the favorite of the king. So she was at the table of the king and she thought, I've got to find a way to save my people, because remember, she was a Jew. So God had put her into that position, and then God guides her and he says to her, make a dinner, make a supper, and woo your husband. So that when you talk to him, he's got his belly full, he's very good, and he's nice. Okay? If he's hungry, it ain't going to work, lady. Okay?
That's not true.
Ladies, if you want something from your husband, give him food. So that's what she did. She made a banquet. And she said to him, save my people. And that's what happened. Just because she accepted what God was telling her to do. And she said, yes, I'm at your service, Lord. Amen. And then, of course, we have people who are so, yeah, okay, hesitant. They're hesitant and they are scared. And then God says to you, oh, man of great valor, or woman of great valor, just like he did to Gideon. Okay, he was so scared, he was hiding away. He didn't want to hear about anything. He said, because I'm going to get killed here. I'm not strong. I'm just weak. I'm the last of the last. But God said, you are the one I've chosen. So you could be somewhere in your house, in your garden, in your wherever, in your school, in your business, whatever it may be, sort of hiding behind the counter and saying, God, no, God, don't use me because I'm scared. Amen. And then he says, Mrs. X, Mr. X, you are a man or a woman of mighty valor. And I have prepared things for you. And then, of course, what God does, he prepares things and he gets things moving so that only the only things that you have to do is to step into that and to say, God, here I am, use me. But the problem is that he says, yes, Lord, I'm willing to accept what you're saying to me. But did I really hear well what you said? Because just repeat that for me. Just repeat that for me. Do you know what? I'll take the carpet from the living room. I'll hang it outside in the summer tonight. You know, it's good weather. If it's wet tomorrow morning, you know, I'll know. That was the fleece that Gideon put out. Okay? So it happens. And it's all wet and the rest is dry. So he says, yeah, okay, Lord. Okay. But can you just reconfirm that again? It's like the person that receives an email saying, you know, you have won the lottery or something like that. And they send three emails saying, just confirm that again for me. I'm not quite sure, you know. So he says, this time he takes that same carpet and he puts it outside. And if it's dry and the rest is wet, then I'll know that you have asked me to do this. Okay, so he does that and tries. And of course, it is true. It is true, God wanted him to go and fight. So he takes and he rises an army. And so, and just imagine, this guy, he is so scared that he takes an army, a large army. He said, God, no, that's too many. I mean, you know the story. I'm not going to go through that. But it's just to show you what God does when it is your destiny. Amen. And because it is your destiny, you are protected. Amen. Nothing can happen to you. Because you have God on your side. And if God is with you, who can be against you? So guys, just stay with God. Stay with him day in, day out. Like the pastor says, 24/7. Even when you're sleeping, stay with God. Make sure you have good dreams. And the only way to have good dreams, I'm going to tell you, is not to have bad things during the day. You can only have good dreams if you don't watch bad films. If you don't do anything. You know, Andrea was speaking a bit earlier on about fornication, pornography. And said, cut it out of your life and you will not dream bad things. Read the Bible before you go to bed and you will have sweet dreams. And you will sleep like a baby. Why? Because it's going to be the sleep of the righteous. Amen. So just do that and walk with God. So whatever happens, you're weak, okay, that's fine. God will strengthen you. If you're strong and proud, he will humble you. But he will still use you. But you're going to go through a test first. To be humble first. Amen. And then, of course, you could of course, do like some other people that we read about in the Bible. When God gives you instructions to go somewhere and to do something, say, I ain't going. I'm not going. And instead of going to the east, he goes to the west. He just disappears completely. And God says, "And you are going to do what I tell you to do," says God. Right? So he goes onto a boat. The boat sinks, and God sends a great big fish. Right? Anybody recognize Jonah here?
Yes.
Okay. And he sends a great big fish. And he spends 3 days in the belly of the fish. just to teach him a lesson. When I tell you to do something, Jonah, you are going to do it. Sounds familiar? Have a look at your lives. Okay? When God wants you to do something, you'd better do it. Because otherwise, things are going to happen that you are not going to like sitting 3 days in the belly of a fish. And then, of course, he doesn't spoo you out anywhere. He spoos you out where you're supposed to be. Part of God's plan. So, when God calls you, say, just like the scouts, you know, be prepared. I'm ready. Okay? And just go and do it. Because, come on. If you have to give a message to somebody, I mean, just imagine if Andrea today did not give that message. How would the rest of her week be, or her month? Do you think God would appreciate it? Do you think he'd be happy? Because this is something that just doesn't involve just one person. It doesn't involve her. If it involved her life, and she was doing something that got it and didn't give the message or did not obey that message, the only consequence would be with her life. But here, she would be responsible for the consequence of the whole community. So you've got to think about these things. When God calls you to do something, just get prepared and do it. If you can't, if you say, listen, I'm not quite ready or I don't feel prepared, that's fine. Nobody's saying that you have to jump onto your first horse and onto the first horse that comes along and go and do it. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is your heart has got to be ready to answer the call of God. Right? And then what you do is you get yourself prepared. If you said, I'm not prepared, okay, well then that's fine. Get down on your knees. Pray to the Holy Spirit that he may strengthen you, that he may give you the guidelines. How does he want you to do this? At what time does he want you to do this? And he will. Read the Bible, dig into the Bible. The answers are there, and you will feel in your heart. I was just saying to Tina a bit earlier on, you know, because while we were worshiping, I was saying to her, you know, it's incredible. When I preach, it's incredible how the Holy Spirit speaks to me during the worship. During the worship, he's giving me points that he wants me to talk about. Worship God day in, day out. Just sing to him. Lift up your soul to the Lord. I mean, you're on the bus, just hum, singing in your mind. If you don't want to sing aloud so that people don't throw you out on the bus, you know, that you can carry on traveling with them. But if you've got a car, just sing in the car. Put a CD on or something like that. If you're riding a bicycle, just sing to God. Nobody's going to say anything wrong about that. You know, you've got 45 miles you can do that for. Wow, every morning. You know, it's great. If this guy rides a bike every day nearly, you know, I don't know, 30, 40 miles. Incredible. Hallelujah. Wonderful time to worship the Lord. Wonderful time to worship the Lord. Just during you're there. I mean, it's incredible. So, don't say like Jonah, no. Because I said to you, where God wants you, he will put you one way or the other. He will, of course, if you say at one point, Lord, no, I don't want you. I said, I don't want you. I didn't say I didn't want to do this. If you say to God, no, I don't want you anymore, and you leave God, and you backslide, as they say, then God, of course, will choose somebody else. With all the consequences that are there for you. Right? But if you do not go to that step and say, Lord, I'm leaving you, then he will get you where he wants. Even if you don't want to. It's like my dad, he used to say, you know, Philip, you're a wonderful guy. You can help me in the garden even when you don't want to. Yeah, that was my dad. He was absolutely fantastic. He said, you're great. You can help me in the garden even if you don't want to. Same with God. You can do it even if you don't want to. Because I have chosen you. And do you know why he's chosen you? Because he has given you, right from your birth, specific abilities to be able, because he already knew before you were born what he wanted to do with you. So he's put within you specific abilities, specific gifts to do what he wants you to do. And that is one of the great big lessons that we're going to talk about during the seminar. What are these abilities? What are the gifts that God has given me to be able to do what he wants me to do?
I think if there's nothing else, I think that is the most important part of the whole seminar. Of course, you can't understand that if you don't go to the other bits, that's obvious. But it's such a culminant point. Don't miss it. Sorry, no publicity. Do apologize. Okay. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You are in a very small position. You are the tea maker in an office, right? Or the photocopier operators. Does that still exist in offices today? I suppose it does. Or the mailman. Yeah? Does that still exist? Probably. Okay. So you're there and you do that. And then something happens, and instead of you, and the boss calls you, and you climb, you know, and you're going, you're overtaking everybody else, and at the end of the time, you become the manager of that particular office, and just in a few months' time, you just go bang, 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 bang. Now, how do you think that happens? It's because God wants you. He was putting you in a position. He was molding you. He was getting you ready.
Amen.
For that position.
Amen.
I have never, ever seen in my life somebody that comes out of school, out of college, out of university, and is bombarded chief executive officer of a great big company, and that succeeded. It just doesn't happen. There's got to be training. There's got to be training. And don't believe that doesn't happen as well in the spiritual world. We need training. And we need training even just to listen to God, to hear what He's saying. We need training. Because we might misunderstand. So you're there in the mailroom, and then suddenly you become the manager. Because you have proven what you can do in the mailroom. Who am I talking about? There was this guy who was the cupbearer in Persia. And he was just serving the king. He was a prisoner of Israel. And then the king just said to him, he said, "You're not normally sad. Why are you sad today? You normally are so cheerful when you come to me with my wine. Why are you sad today?" And he says, "I was just thinking yesterday of the walls of my city that were completely broken down. And that need to be rebuilt." He had a burden upon him that God had placed upon Nehemiah. He had that burden. And sometimes you will feel that burden. Sometimes you will feel an urge, like we say. A deep urge to do something. Because God has placed that burden on your life. It may be just to go and visit a hospital. And to go and see people inside the hospital. It could be that. It could be anything. And that is what happened to Nehemiah. He had this burden to go and rebuild Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And he just said that to the king. Of course, the king was so powerful, he said, "That's fine, go." And not only did he go, but he gave him introduction letters. He got letters to go through all the provinces. To finally go to Jerusalem, to Israel. And he had authority to get all the work done and to get all the work, the wood, the stones, and rebuild that city. Okay? Just because he was a cupbearer, but he was in the presence of the right person. Once again, God has put him in the right place in the right time. And this is going to happen to you guys. Now, I remember also, because, you know, these are things that can take a lot of time. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to know immediately what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. But the comparison is very clear when we talk about, I think it's the bamboo plant. Yeah, the bamboo plant hardly grows at all when it's planted. For 5 years, it stays very, very small. Very small. And it looks as if it's half dead, you know. But on that sixth year, whank. 1 meter per month it goes, and bang, it just climbs like everything. And that's exactly what happens in our ministries, in what you, because, you know, I'm talking ministries here. Why am I talking ministries? Ministries is not for just special people. Ministries is for every single individual in this church. There is no difference at all between people. Do you know that the children that are down there, they have ministries? They have ministries amongst themselves as children.
Yeah.
It's not just for us. It's for everybody. It's for absolutely everybody. Don't think, oh, I haven't got a ministry. You have. You just need to know what it is. You just need to find it. You just need to. And when I say find it, there's only one way. It's to ask God, show me. And He will. And you will serve somewhere where He wants you. And because you are serving where He wants you, you're going to be extremely happy. Because that's exactly where you are fit in the whole of the cogwheels, you know. The church is like a like you know these grandfather clocks, you know, this, which you used to have in the, you know, waistcoat and so forth, and you open them up and you've got all these cogwheels that are working, right? The church is like that as well. We're all one of those cogwheels. You know, if one breaks, one little tooth of that watch doesn't work anymore. We need just to find which one we are and just we fit in there. And God has already prepared that specific place for each one of you.
Yes.
Amen. So Nehemiah goes along, and of course he goes to Jerusalem and he starts rebuilding all the gates of Jerusalem. And do you think that was easy? Opposition all the way along. Enemy trying to stop him. Don't be deceived, church. The enemy is going to try and stop you. But as I said earlier on, if God is with you, who can be against you? Do not worry. Do not fret. Relax. Be calm. And trust in God. That is the most important thing. Just trust in the Word of God. And when you trust in the Word of God, nothing is going to happen to you. But what God wants to happen, that is going to happen. Now you could have, you know, there are these stories that go around, and I really believe them to be true. There was a person, very spiritual person. I'd rather not reveal who that person was, okay? But on a parking. On a parking. And this mob comes along. But this person had a very, very strong ministry of deliverance, okay? And this mob comes along and want to kill this person. And do you know what this person did? She spoke to them. He said, I am behind the shield of the Lord, the shield of faith.
Amen.
Nothing can happen to me.
Amen.
And here is the sword of the Spirit.
Amen.
Do you know that those people probably actually saw a shield and a sword? Because they just ran away.
Amen.
Where God wants you, He will put you. And He will give you the weapons that you need to use.
Definitely.
To come and to resolve any situation that comes across.
Amen.
You. Amen. Ah, yes. Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar. Does anybody know who Belteshazzar is? Yes. His name was Daniel. Right? But the king gave him the name of Belteshazzar. And what happened there? Also prisoners. Also prisoners. So they were in a situation what was bad, in reality, if you think about it. But just look at what the Bible says about Daniel. And ladies, I suggest, I'm talking about ladies who are not married, who desire to be married, right? I think you ought to pray to God to give you a guy like this. Because the Bible says he was good looking. The Bible says that he was intelligent. The Bible says that he was gifted in wisdom. The Bible says that he was knowledgeable. The Bible says that he was quick to understand and able to serve. Now, what more would a woman want? So start praying, ladies. But that was the description of Daniel. And because he was like that, the king had given him to his service, brought him into his service. Of course, at one point in time, the king says, I am going to make a statue, and you are going to bow down to that statue. And Daniel says, no, I serve the Lord God. I am not going to bow down to your statue. I refuse to do that. So what happens? He throws all four friends into the fiery furnace. He just throws them in there. He said, I'll get rid of you. Because if you don't want to bow down, I'm just going to destroy you. I mean, what an extraordinary story. What an extraordinary story. The king orders to make that fire burn four times more than it normally does. And he looks in there, and instead of three people walking there, there's four.
Amen.
And he says, but I don't understand. So he brings them out of there, and the Bible says very clearly they didn't smell of smoke, they weren't burnt, their hair wasn't seared, there was nothing, as if they'd just walking through the park. Have they just been 10 minutes of furnace in a fiery furnace? Or how long it was. So God saved them. He was there with them, protecting them. So whatever situation you go through, you can be assured that God is there.
Amen.
He will be there to save you. But on one condition, is that you walk with him through your life. If, like the pastor said earlier on, or Andrea, I'm not quite sure. If you walk out of the church and go and do exactly what you normally do, that you shouldn't be doing, then of course God is not going to save you. You're just going to have to bear the consequences. But if you walk with God, he is going to save you from any situation.
Yes.
Because he is God and he loves you. And he doesn't want anything to happen to you. Because when you are in his service, he is the best employer that you could ever have. He is the one who looks after you. He feeds you. He makes you prosperous. He gives you everything you need. I mean, come on. We glorify God so much in our house because he does things. I mean, I've got these little stories that I really want to tell because they just show you. Okay? We had a couple of sinks that were clogged up, a bit clogged up, the water not running very quickly and so forth. And we decided we're going to have to buy that product there to put in there, and dissolve that whole thing. I said to Tina, okay, fine, but I think they're quite expensive. We'll see, but let's do one this week, one next week, something like that, whatever. And I get to the supermarket. There we are, I go to the thing. £4.07 for that particular product. Just to pour down the sink. Come on. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money just to put down the drain. Come on. Okay. So, and then suddenly I see underneath, 2 for £3 of that particular product. I said, glory be to you, Lord. You knew what we needed and you have provided what we needed at a better price than just one. For two.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. That's what God does. That's what God does. And it wasn't the only thing. There were other things. I can't remember what it was. But there's other things. That's. Oh, yeah. What? The photocopy?
Yeah.
What photocopy? Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. The binding thing. Yeah?
Yeah?
The binding thing was practically half price of what the price was. No, for the paper. That's right. The paper. We had to go and see for the paper. The paper was $3.99. Right? And I go and get some paper, and they said, but the price has changed. I said, oh, no. He said, oh, yes, it's $2.49. I said, praise God, hallelujah. That's the things that he does. Oh, yeah, I had to change the printer. That's what you're talking about. I had to change my printer because it didn't print anymore. And, of course, I had these cartridges, and I've got a continuous ink system and all that sort of stuff. But they have to use a cartridge with specific numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. And I couldn't find a printer anywhere with those numbers. I looked in PC World, I looked at Curry's, I looked at Argos, I looked at Tesco's, I looked all over the place. I just got on the internet, I just couldn't find it. So at the end of the day, I say, okay, Lord, I'll just go to Argos and I'll buy that particular one, which wasn't too expensive to replace the one that wasn't working anymore, etc., etc. And then Tina comes with me, we go down there, we have a look, and just next to Argos, there's Staples. And she said to me, did you go to Staples? I said, no, I forgot Staples. I didn't think of Staples. She said, let's go and have it. I said, but I've reserved there. She said, but let's go and have a look anywhere. We walk into Staples, go into the aisle. The second printer that's there is a printer with the same cartridges that we used to have, that we had at home. I said, glory be to God. And do you know what? Cheaper than the other one. God moves in your life. I'm telling you these stories because I want you to feel the power of God in our life. I mean, when I say these are silly little things, you understand what I'm talking about. There's nothing silly in our lives. But it's just these little nitty-gritty things that happen every day. But that is where we can glorify God the most.
Yes.
We are not living in a world with great big miracles every single day. But all those little miracles that happen all the time, those are the ones where we have to praise his glorious name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So be prepared. Just walk with him and everything you need will come.
Amen.
He knows every single one of your dreams and every single one of your desires and every single one of your needs. And he will provide.
Amen.
So Daniel comes out of the fiery furnace, you know, as if his suit had come from the cleaners, you know. Now, why did that happen, do you think? Just when you think just a few seconds about that. Why did that happen? Why didn't God just, you know, take him up to heaven and that was it and he disappears? God needed to show the king the power of the Lord.
Yeah.
So he used the situation to show the power of the Lord. That's the only reason. He wanted that the king or the emperor bowed down and praised God. And because of this, he had to have something dramatic going on. Because he was the emperor. And because of this, he praised God, says the Bible. He praised God. He praised the God of Daniel. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Unfortunately, the guy's in sin. Because he doesn't come to God. He doesn't give it, you know, what we would say, give his life to Jesus. He didn't, that didn't exist in those days. But he was not a man of God. He was still walking in sin. So God gets a bit angry with him. He says, do you know what? And this is also a lesson to all of us. You know, but he says to him, do you know what? I'm going to take everything away from you. And you are going to go away from men. You're not going to see men anymore for a while. And you're going to go and eat grass like the oxen. You're going to go into the field and you're going to feed on the grass of the oxen. Now just look at that image. Do you think the cows just take up the grass with their paws and put them into their mouths? No, no. To get that food, he had to kneel down. He needed to be humbled. Now, I pray to God that none of you here in this church, of course we're Sunrise Church, so probably will never happen. But the fact is that I pray to God that none of you ever have to go through this process of humiliation that God puts you through. It's not a good experience, believe me. I've been there. I have been there. And I can assure you that what goes on inside of your soul and your heart, you know, God is ripping out every single thing that's in there. And he's making you feel. He's making you feel it. Until you bow down to his will. And then he lifts you up again. If your heart is sincere. Just like the heart of David was. And that's why God, the pastor said last week in his sermon, you know, God, David was a man according to the heart of God. Because he accepted the punishment. He accepted to be corrected. He accepted to start again. And that's what we need to do. We need to stand up firm and say, yes, okay, I've done wrong. Lord, please forgive me. Get down on your knees. Forget and forgive. And let's start all over again. And walk again in God's ways.
Amen.
Yes, so that is the message of today, really. And I pray to God that every single person here present today can feel this message in their hearts, knowing that God has called them to do something very specific. I pray today that God will lead you where he wants you to go. And I pray to God that he makes your path easy. I pray to God that he takes away the obstacles that the enemy is trying to put in your path, so that you may get to the place where he wants you to be, strong. Full of faith and trusting in his power.
Amen.
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 Be blessed during this week.
Hallelujah.